Well, it's that time of year again where we look at current internal communication trends. Some of them carry over or expand on trends from last year. Some are responding to new technologies, new workplace cultures, and new external pressures. To talk about that, I'm here with Debbie DeWitt, Marketing Communications Manager for Vizix. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Derek.
I'd like to thank Debbie for talking to me today, and of course, everybody out there for listening to this episode of Digital Signage Done Right. You can follow along with a transcript of the conversation on the Vizix website under Resources and Podcasts, and you can, of course, subscribe and review us on IMDb. Whether you're using digital signage or not, our podcast gives you practical tips for communications and content to better engage your audience. I'm Derek DeWitt. Welcome to Digital Signage Done Right. Okay, so as I said, we're going to talk about internal communication trends for the year. And to know where we're going, it kind of helps to know where we've been. So let's look back at 2023 trends briefly. Some of those are still in play this year, I think.
Yeah, a lot of them are. And I'm not going to go through all of those because you can go and listen to that episode. But the big ones that have carried through are the influence of hybrid workplaces, more leadership communications, and more authentic communications from those leaders. Focus on employee wellness, making communications more visual, and then using analytics for better decision-making.
Sure, that makes sense. I know that when we were at ISC, we saw a lot of stuff about analytics.
Yeah, data-driven decisions. It's the topic.
Yes, it is. And of course, another big topic on everybody's minds these days is AI. Since we talked about this last year, I don't even think we mentioned AI, but now it's everywhere in the press.
It was out there a little bit, but it just started entering the conversation. I think it was after most of the polls had been taken. But this year, I could not find a single list that did not include AI. And it's not only dominating the conversation about how we create communications, it's definitely influencing audience trust in those communications.
Interesting. We'll take a closer look at that in a little bit. But let's start with where these trends are coming from, meaning where'd you get this information? Sources.
Well, I hate listing all my sources. So what I did is I looked at a bunch of different lists and I took all of those lists and you can Google it. You'll get hundreds of different trends, but I boiled it down to items that I think are interesting to our listeners.
Most of whom, of course, manage digital signage, or maybe not most, but many. And of course, people listening, you might not be internal communications professionals per se, but you still need to be aware of this stuff.
Yeah, it's important to stay on top of trends. And so I wanted to start with the Gallagher State of the Sector Report. It's a really good report on internal communications and employee experience. The one I found is a 2023-2024 survey, and it included internal communications professionals worldwide, but 50% of the respondents are in North America, so I think it's applicable to our audience. It's also a great place to see what they're saying about current trends.
So what were the big themes this year?
Well, internal comms is still grappling with the rhythms of hybrid work and having their audience spread out, you know, some at home, some in the office. So that's a big one.
Sure.
They also say more heightened emotional intelligence is required to address internal changes and external forces.
Now, do you think that's a response to what you see a lot in the press about Gen Z, about Zoomers? Some articles will complain that they're too sensitive, but other articles make the point that this has just become top of mind for them, that they like to have an emotionally secure and or satisfying experience, even at work. Work and life are not necessarily completely separate, you know, modes for them.
Yeah, and I mean, I think whatever your opinion on that, whether you think it's too much or not enough, too bad. This is your workforce. This is your audience, especially if you're at college, this is your audience.
Yeah, that's true.
And I will say, unless you're like, I don't know, unless you have an office full of psychopaths, emotional intelligence is important for everyone of every age.
Right. When I was first entering the workforce, it would have been nice to work in a place that, you know, was nice.
It's all about human-focused communications, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit.
And in addition to AI, there's just a lot of new tech, especially software.
Yeah, and it's not just a flood of technology. It's new tech they've never seen before. AI being probably the biggest one that we'd think of. But also, there are more digital apps and communications platforms out there than ever before.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's interesting. According to that report, there's more fear of creating an employee experience that lacks authenticity and empathy than there is for communicators losing their jobs to AI, which is what the press would have you think. AI is going to come and flip burgers and you'll be out of a job.
People always think that the number one reaction is fear for their jobs. But really, these people are like, hey, AI is out there. I'm not worried about it's going to take my job. I'm worried about that employee experience is going to be hurt if we just let the AI run it. But I think internal communications is an area that we're always going to need a human eye, least until AI gets a lot smarter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're a writer, you're a podcast host. Are you worried about losing your job to AI? Wait, are you an AI?
Not today. Perhaps when the singularity hits and Mr. Kurzweil's predictions come true, then we'll see. But until then, it's not going to make me obsolete because I write the way I write. And that's my style. And AI is going to have to get really smart to be able to directly copy my style.
Yeah, I think it's kind of much ado about nothing.
Oh, Shakespeare reference. Nice. You know, in the past, we've talked a lot about getting a seat at the table, meaning that people who aren't in the C-suite or in the managerial section of work still should be able to have some input and actually have data and information on what's happening and where things are going. I think that's improved in the past few years.
Yes, finally. Yeah. IC pros are more involved in strategy and business outcomes than ever before. The respondents for this survey, they saw multiple purposes for internal communications, the largest being culture and belonging.
Right, so again, which is an intangible.
Yeah, again, we're not talking about tasks and projects. We're talking about culture. We're talking about a vibe and experience. But there was a 9% increase in those saying strategic alignment was the purpose, which means, you know, making those communications align to whatever the C-suite is throwing down.
And hopefully there's some back and forth going on there too. Hopefully the C-suite's not just coming up with stuff in a bubble and then dictating it from on high, and everybody goes, oh, that's interesting to know. Hopefully there's some, you know, back and forth informing those directions.
Yeah, well, according to the survey, that is true. They have more of a seat.
That's excellent. Now, I see here 48 to 50%, so roughly half of the people in this particular poll or survey said that internal communications is part of their strategy when choosing how they communicate about the vision and the purpose and the strategy of the company, employee recognition, and sort of the behavior, values, and culture of the organization. But only 16 to 20%, so let's say a fifth, say that IC, internal communications, is part of strategy when choosing how to communicate about things like career development, health and safety, and regulations and compliance. So like you said, the more ephemeral things seem to be more a focus.
It's not necessarily ephemeral, but I would say things like regulations and compliance and safety and health, you don't have a lot of leeway there because those are regulated. Mm. So you don't have a lot of latitude. So there may not be a need for sitting down and discussing a strategy behind those things because it's kind of regulated by OSHA or whatever. Mm. And a lot of those, for those topics, they said they do get to advise on those communications. So they may not be in the room when things are being decided, but like you said, there's some back and forth.
Now, before we get to the top workplace communications trends, let's look at the top 12 priorities for communicators in 2024 moving forward. I see here the top two are engaging teams on purpose, strategy, and values. 63% of respondents said that is one of their top priorities. And the second place one at 39% was developing and refreshing the entire internal communication strategy.
I think this shows that communicating your top level mission is still paramount. You know, it seems funny that we're always like strategy, mission, vision, purpose. That has to be communicated and it has to really drill down or drip down to everybody in your organization or you're not all working on the same page. So I think that makes sense. And then I'm guessing those reworking their IC strategy are basically trying to work all these new priorities, new tech, AI. They're trying to hit all of these new things, and so they're taking a look at their strategy.
When the times are disruptive, it's time to disrupt things.
Ooh, nice one. Let's get a t-shirt.
Yeah, right. Now, so those are the top two. The next two were enhancing leadership visibility, which is an interesting word, and enhancing people manager communication. So that's people.
Yeah, and this is one of those continued trends from last year, wanting to see your leaders more often. And they also want to hear from them more often, and they want them to be much more authentic and genuine. We've talked about that before. But we're also seeing continued emphasis on improving communications between line managers and their employees. We've seen over and over in some of the studies that have come out in the news that say hybrid isn't working. In almost all of those cases, it's not a C-suite, it's not communications, it's that their immediate manager has not adapted well.
Right, like they don't get it or they don't approve of it personally or whatever.
I don't think it's that. I think it's they just haven't developed a way to keep their team, you know, together, on track, doing a lot more check-ins. There are lists and lists out there what you need to do as a line manager, but I think that could have affected this.
Sure. Okay, moving on down the list of priorities, we come to improving impact measurement and evaluation, which I don't actually know what that means.
Well, impact measurement is how effective was it, really?
Oh, okay. Yeah, makes sense. Building or restructuring internal communications functions, which is similar to developing and refreshing the strategy, and developing and refreshing the employee value proposition, which is a good buzzword bingo term, which means what?
The value proposition is, what are you offering someone if they come work for you?
Ah.
It's not synonymous with employee experience, but they're very close. These are three very big things. We're basically saying ROI, the purpose of internal communications and that department, and employee experience, top of mind. Mm. And it's interesting that they specify impact measurement, like you said. What is that? Because it's easy to measure reach, but it's very hard to measure effectiveness, or it's harder. Like, email's the perfect example. Hey, I sent 30,000 emails and 20,000 got opened. That's reach. How many took the call to action? How many clicked through? How many signed up for the thing you wanted to advertise? You know, so that's actually effectiveness. Mm. And it's an evolving discipline, and I think that's where AI can help a lot.
Analytics is really, right now at least, I think where AI shines, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's where we're going to see a lot more of it being used.
Right. It's going to be more on that end of things and not on writing, you know, Facebook posts.
Yeah, and also the survey says like 47% of communicators are using measurement to influence leadership. Measurement's really important because they're pulling out stats to get what they need or what they want from leadership.
Right, because leadership wants to know that the decisions they're making, they have a foundation. Like, there's a basis for it. There's a reason for it.
Yeah. Data-driven decision-making. There it is again.
There it is. A second t-shirt.
And in terms of the employee value proposition, I think a lot of that is that societal issues, environmentalism, ethics, all of that's now being folded into that.
I see. So, like, kind of what's unique about your company and what your company stands for besides just, hey, profits?
Yeah. And it's not, when you give a value proposition, it's not just saying this is our benefits package. The culture is hugely important.
Right. Especially because I think a lot of benefits packages have sort of aligned with one another. There are just certain things that people expect now. So if I'm applying to six different companies and they all basically have the same benefits package, then which one am I going to go for? I'm going to go for the one that I'm going to like working for more.
Yeah. And actually, I will say a lot of benefits packages have been evolving as well, along with the communications. I know there are a lot of things, like it used to just be, you know, health insurance, but now there's access to online counseling. You've got weight loss programs. You've got, you know, smoking cessation programs. There's a lot of
volunteering opportunities.
Yeah, there's health
matching.
Yeah, health and wellness is a big one, as well as DEI, but we're not going to get into that here.
So the next two are very tech-centric. Introducing new digital channels. I'm curious to hear what, for example, that will be. And adapting the channel strategy for hybrid work and future work trends, sort of future-proofing your comms.
Yeah, I mean, digital channels is what everyone's using unless you're printing stuff. So, I mean, that just means any communications that's digital. These two are definitely linked. A lot of the new digital channels are because of hybrid. So even though it's been a couple of years, we're still kind of figuring out the best ways to communicate and engage with people who aren't in the building.
Right.
Or some of them are in the building and others aren't. You know, it could be those people could switch places throughout the week. So it's interesting that they say hybrid and future work trends. I thought that was interesting because it means they're thinking hybrid may not be the last big evolution we're going to see in the next few years.
Yeah, that's for sure. So maybe people are trying to actually get in front of the next big change before it happens so that they're already sort of set up for it instead of just reacting to varying degrees of success.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you think some of those future work trends coming down the road might be?
Well, we already talked about Gen Z is going to be taking over a lot more positions. You've got younger people moving into management positions over as, you know, time goes by. We've got more of a gig economy. Mm-hmm. People are doing side hustles. People might have three jobs, a lot more contractors versus employees.
Or turning your hobby into an income or revenue stream.
Yeah, absolutely. Smart buildings, huge.
Yeah.
We saw that at ISE.
Yeah.
Smart buildings, environmental impacts. I think that's huge. Sustainability in the workplace is a very big topic. So all of that could affect work styles, work trends, policies, communications. Who knows?
Even physical layout of the space.
Definitely.
I mean, where are we putting the recycling bins, for example?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then you have to look at how that affects communications.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then the last three on the list of priorities for 2024 are mitigating impact of external events or crises. I think that's quite clear. Personal development for both the individual and for teams. And developing a business case for more resources, which 5% said was important for them. What does that last one mean?
It means going to your boss and saying, I need more people. I need another app. I need more resources to do communications effectively.
I need a printer that works.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. I understand. Yeah. Upgrade everything and refresh everything. That makes sense. The external events and crises one is quite interesting because, of course, you know, nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody really knows. But it makes me think crisis communications is the obvious first one.
Yeah, it is. Crisis communications planning is on a lot of the lists that I saw because there's a lot of turmoil in the world and there are more natural disasters and unnatural disasters. So IC has to be prepared. And we actually did a previous episode about VUCA, which is volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. So I suggest go listen to that and you can hear a little bit more about, you know, how the external and internal upheavals might affect internal communications.
Right. And they may also present opportunities in some ways.
Yeah, always.
So all the stuff we've been talking about came from the Gallagher Report. But as Deb said, there are lots and lots of lists out there. So what else did you find out there in the webosphere? Is that even a term?
I think so. I like it. Webosphere.
Webosphere.
So there are six big trends that I pulled together for this, and I've bundled topics together where it made sense. Number one is the employee experience takes priority.
Really? So even though that's been talked about before, but it's the number one thing. It's continuing to evolve.
Absolutely. I mean, and also we're seeing the rise of PX, which is, you know, we've talked about EX, CX, VX. PX is people experience.
Ah.
So it's a holistic approach to influencing how people feel about working for you. And we'll probably do an episode on that.
Do an episode on that. That sounds... I'm making a note.
Nice. I mean, what's important about this is that employee experience is now considered strategic at top levels because everyone's aware of the cost of an unengaged workforce.
Yeah.
And this used to be sort of fluffy, sort of HR, but your C-suite is absolutely focusing on this, putting it at their top of list.
Yeah, and it's not just, kumbaya, as some people might say. You're going to lose people who are good, or you won't be able to attract and hire good talent. You'll have lower productivity. You'll have more tardiness and absenteeism. I mean, again, I think back to when I worked at places that I couldn't have given two figs about. Yeah, I wasn't a good employee, but I could have been.
You were unengaged.
I was unengaged.
So, I mean, IC is working to support what they call people-first cultures. So as we talked about, they want to foster well-being, satisfaction, and of course, productivity. You can't throw that out the window.
Yeah.
Another part of this idea is internal marketing, which is boosting your brand inside the company as well as out.
This is kind of matching the employee experience of the brand with the same experience that customers or visitors get.
Yeah, if you've mismatched, it's a bad deal. And I'm just going to plug again.
And they'll mention it.
Yeah.
Like employees will mention it. They'll go, you know, it's funny. Our mission statement says X, Y, and Z, but internally, we don't do any of those things.
Yeah, and I was just going to do another plug for, we have an episode on aligning internal and external communications where we talk all about that.
There you go.
So the last thing on employee experience that I'll say is that there are a lot of employee experience platforms coming out. We talked about new technology, new apps, new platforms. They're a big part of this. And so a lot of this is internal comms trying to figure out the best way to use that channel to communicate.
So circling back to AI, artificial intelligence, but this time in the context of a tool for addressing internal communication trends. I think this is going to affect many of these other trends.
It's a trend that affects other trends. So I kept
a meta trend.
Yeah. Or a trend loop. We'll come up with some other, you know, unique term.
Hyper trend.
Yeah. So the big thing about this is, okay, so we've come up with all of these trends. How can AI help us to address those trends, which is itself a trend? The thing about AI is communications professionals are trying to figure out how to use it correctly, but also carefully. So it can help with analytics, but it also helps with image and video generation and writing. Last year, only 40% of respondents thought AI would make a big impact, whereas this year it's 60%. So I think communicators are looking at AI, but they haven't really figured out where it fits in and how best to use it and what the policies in place are.
Yeah. So I have some numbers here on that issue. So 29% said their organization has guidance on when or where or how to use AI. That's only 29%. 1 in 5, so 20%, say that their organizations provide AI resources or AI training. Again, pretty low.
Only 20%.
13% don't even know if AI is being used in their organization right now, which is interesting.
Yeah.
16% said they didn't know if there was a dedicated person or group responsible for AI. And 50% said, no, we don't have anybody in charge of AI at all.
That's what it's very, very new. And it'll be interesting to look at those stats in a year. Since everybody said, hey, we think AI is a big topic. We think we want to start using it. We need to work on our strategy around it. So it'll be interesting to see if those numbers go up. It's still a new tool. And it was interesting to see that 1 in 3 are experimenting with AI. And these are internal communication professionals, not everybody in the organization.
Right.
1 in 5 are using AI to create communications. So people are already using it. 4 in 10 don't use generative AI. And 1 in 10 are unsure of plans for AI. But 41% are enthused about AI, which I think is great.
Yes. And yet, looking at the rest of that, 35% say they're just sort of resigned to AI's coming or here and there's nothing we can do about it. 13% are in denial of AI. Not that they don't think it's real, but that they just don't think about it, or they deny that it's being used or might be useful. 2% say they are outright terrified of AI. I think too many late night viewings of the Terminator franchise. And then on the other side of things, we have 9%, but I'll be curious to see next year if this goes up. Only 9% are active champions of AI in internal communications.
Yeah, I'm super stoked about that. Considering how new it is to have champions out there, I mean, you had a lot of people who are like, I don't know if we're using it, but maybe they're running around saying they should.
Right.
And I think it makes sense that those who are using AI, or at least are experimenting with it, are the most positive about it. So those people who are enthused, those people who are champions of it, they are already using it, and that makes sense. And apparently, even the number of, or I should say, the measure of their positivity went up. They're 10% more positive about AI than they were last year.
Right.
So I expect we'll see this at the top of the priorities in next year's study too.
Right. And again, if you look at that 9% are champions and 41% are enthused, that's 50%.
Yeah.
Half of them are like, yeah, AI, right on.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Now, a good kind of follow-on from this AI stuff is this trend of hyper-personalization, which everybody says this was already coming even before the public introduction of artificial intelligence, AI is just going to accelerate this.
AI makes it a little bit new because this we've been doing personalization with mail merge and email merges and things like that. But this isn't just putting someone's first name. Yeah, this is about using data and behavior analysis to tailor content to the recipient. So if you think about your Google News feed, and I know some people shudder when I say that, but it does show you what it thinks you want to see based on your behavior, based on things you've been talking about around your phone, things you've clicked on in the past. So it's kind of the same thing for internal communications, and AI is how you get that data and analysis.
And we have talked about in a previous episode how AI can help develop audience personas, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, really, the idea is to make sure that content's specific to that employee's interactions and interests, which, you know, makes it more engaging. We're back to employee experience. We're back to engagement.
Which is a perfect segue, because the next I see trend is creating more engaging content.
It's like we did an outline or something. So yeah, this is about how do you get through to people being inundated with digital messages and feeds, you know, all those platforms we've talked about.
Right. And as we always say with digital signage, how do you get them off their phones?
Yeah. So in terms of engaging content, a lot of the list singled out video communications as a big trend this year. I found that a little bit odd. Videos have been around forever, but apparently people haven't been using them very much, and they're saying we need to use them more.
And as honestly we've been saying for quite some time, they're saying better visuals, and that doesn't necessarily mean good cameras or things like this, because honestly, even your most basic smartphone has a good camera now. But it's about how you frame things and how you light things, and it just needs to look nice and make some kind of sense. And humor. Humor is a great way, especially for short form video. If it's funny but also informative, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to share it. I mean, that's how you stand out from the pack.
Yeah, and there are so many online tools now, even free stuff, even PowerPoint. You can turn it into a video. Like, there are a lot more accessible tools to make a quality video a lot easier than it used to be.
Yes, that's true.
So there's also a push for more interactive communications,
which doesn't necessarily mean touchscreens, right?
Correct. Although it could. But, you know, nobody's saying go out and spend tons of money on touchscreens, especially when it comes to internal communications. They're not just talking about digital signage or websites. So a lot of what I saw was focused on QR codes and surveys and providing a feedback channel.
Which, honestly, physics has been talking about QR codes since 2012. So,
wow.
Yeah, for 12 years we've been talking about QR codes. They're finally starting to make some real impact on the world around us, which is quite nice.
Excellent. Another sub-theme kind of that I saw was about mobile communications. You know, everybody's still talking about make sure it works on mobile. I think that goes hand in hand with the whole hybrid and remote workforce thing.
Yeah, that's true. Now, next up was building trust in leaders and in the organization as a whole, which is interesting. I mean, trust has to be earned. It isn't automatic just because you're giving me a paycheck.
That's true. And we've talked before about leaders being honest and authentic and transparent in their communications. And because people, you know, we said they want to hear from them more often, you have to build all of this into the culture. Right. It needs to be natural at every level, you know, again, from C-suite to those line managers. And it's really about creating trust in all communications that flow not only from your company, but also within the company. So again, we're talking about employees, we're talking about customers, we're talking about students, your public and your internal audience. Communications, that department has to be the voice of leadership, but it also has to represent your stakeholders. So, you know, a couple of the things that I thought were kind of related to this was there's much more of an emphasis on corporate social responsibility, which we've written about. And there was also a big push for DEI. And diversity and inclusion in communications, which we've also written about. Yeah, so it's great because it's very gratifying to see people talking about what we've been, you know, suggesting.
Yeah, right. Like QR codes for 12 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Now, one thing that was new on a couple of these lists was addressing security in communications, which I'm kind of surprised it's taken this long, honestly.
It makes sense, though. More digital platforms means more ways into your business. I mean, it's about securing things. We used to have to worry about emails and spam and that kind of thing. But now you've got an awful lot of different, possibly platforms that have access to some single sign-on, you know, that has all of the passwords. So It goes back to trust and securing what goes in or out of your business. And it's really where IC and your IT team are going to team up to protect your internal exchanges. Right. And you need to have policies and training so people know what they can and can't share. And, you know, you need to train people on how to identify security threats. I mean, let's just go back to those emails again. If you're using an email platform for a monthly newsletter or something, that needs to be secure, you know, and it needs to be have a good reputation. It needs to have virus protection, things like that. So those are kind of external examples, or that's an external example. But I think this is more about, okay, we've just taken on this whole new business communications platform. Is it secure? Can we use single sign-on?
Yeah, obviously, if you know as an employee that your communications, especially your internal communications, which are not for public consumption, sometimes it's just for, it's me and that one person. If I know that they're secure, then I trust the communications more, and I sort of, by association, trust the organization more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the Gallagher study also said that there's been a 20% increase since last year in IC using measurement data to tailor content and build the business case for additional investment, which I think is kind of great news. Tailor your content to your audience, which means you need to know who they are, and use ROI to make that case.
So I'm going to bust out some more stats here.
Oh, good.
So yes, it's numbers, I'm telling you. But these are all related to digital signage in some way. So I thought we should have some of that in here since, you know, it's what we do. So these are what the internal communications professionals say they use this data for.
Okay.
70% say they use it as evidence ROI, and that's up 18%. So I guess that just means that they can show it's working again, telling your C-suite, look, we're using our data to show you it's working.
Right. Our ROI efforts actually are good ones.
Yeah. 62% are using it to tailor content. So that's great, and it's up 21% since, as we mentioned, personalization's on the rise.
Right. And, you know, the sort of digital signage version of personalization is localization.
Yeah. Yeah. At a minimum, for sure. 59% are using data to adjust their messaging, which may not just be personalization. This could be looking at your ROI and A/B testing and deciding on what your messaging or design is. That's up 12%. And again, you know, that's using data to make decisions.
Right. You have to know if something's working or not before you go making changes. Don't just make changes willy-nilly just because you're bored.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, start out with, do I need to adjust my messaging?
Right. We might have nailed the sweet spot.
Yeah, that would be great. 53% are using it to request investment. We kind of hit that before. Self-explanatory, going to people saying, hey, we need more money in this department.
Says every department.
Yeah. And then 64% are using it to refine channels. Those are those digital channels we talked about. And this is deciding what to put where. You know, not every medium needs your advertisement, and not every type of media works on every platform. So I think it is really, you know, deciding which are the best channels.
So which channels are most effective for both the audience and the organization? And the audience in this case is the employees.
Well, usually, I mean, your organization could be a college, and so your audience could be the student body. So, I mean, it is employees, but sometimes you've got various audiences.
Sure.
And the study had some interesting stats about channel mix, what people are using. So video went up, where, shocker, posted letters and materials went down. I mean, I was
who
like...
Who is still mailing things?
Right, I was like, posted?
Posted.
I mean...
What's a stamp?
No, I realized later, I was like, maybe they mean posted like on a bulletin board, you know, like they've put something up like a poster.
Still.
Yeah, and those canceled each other out, so that's good. There was also a 9% increase in intranet usage.
Which I would guess because of the hybrid work thing.
Yeah, absolutely. There was also a huge swing from portals, down 46%, to apps, up 48%. But I'm just going to say, I think this might be misleading because a lot of the portals they were using have now developed an app version of that portal. So there's no way to know the difference there.
Right, right.
And also the survey showed we're not necessarily using more effective channels as much as we should. So where you've measured the effectiveness of something, you'd think immediately you would, you know, sort of put your eggs in that basket. That is not necessarily happening. So digital signage is listed as 74% effective, but with only 48% usage. We know it's effective, but we're not using it enough. I think it's very odd.
What does that mean, though? Like, they don't have it on all day? Or I have digital signage, but I only use it 48% of the time? What does that mean?
It means for internal communications professionals, they are posting their communications or using it for their campaigns 48% of the time. They have found when they do use it, it's 74% effective.
I'm surprised by those numbers, frankly. You use it more.
Yeah, all of these are kind of surprising. Video, crazy to me. 85% effective, but only 59% usage. Here's the one that I don't think is going to surprise anybody, but email is apparently overused.
More than two is too many, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's 92% used. I was actually surprised by how high the effectiveness rate, 89% effective. Huh. But there's still, if you compare the two, if this is what we want to measure, you're using it more often than its effectiveness would warrant.
Oh, yeah, that's true, because that's of those three stat pairings, that's the only one.
That's the only one I pulled out. There's actually a huge list and a graph, and it's very interesting, but I didn't want to go into all of them because some of them, you know.
We've gone on long enough.
Yeah, some of them are also quite close, you know, but these were the ones that surprised me.
Right.
And lastly, unsurprisingly, those who asked employees about their preferences, again, we're talking about channels, they asked them which channel they prefer, they reported higher channel effectiveness.
Well, that seems kind of obvious, but I don't know. It just continually amazes me how many places still don't ask their employees or their students or whoever how they prefer to receive their communications. You know, they just go, this is what we use, like it or lump it. And you can't lump it, so you better like it.
Yeah, a lot of what we've talked about seems obvious to me. But then again, I work for a small company and we're in the business of visual communications.
And, you know, it's not 100% smooth sailing for us either. I mean, you know, we run into challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, knowing about these trends is helpful. And I think when I read these trends, they're quite hopeful. Hmm. You know, it's good to see people championing communications tailored to employee tastes, delivered the way they want, and crafted around issues they care about, you know? So, and I'm super excited by AI.
So those are some of the 2024 internal communications trends and lots of stats that should get you thinking about your own communication strategy for 2024. Whether or not you use digital signage, obviously we think you should.
And absolutely.
That's based on the numbers, folks, not just because that's what we do. But regardless, you're likely to encounter at least a few of the things we've talked about as you plan out your content strategy for the year. And we hope that this discussion has helped you do that. Now, I know there's a lot of information, a lot of stats in there. Again, I tell you, we have a transcript on the VizX website. Make use of it. You can listen or just read, and that's under resources and podcasts on VizX.com. I'd like to thank my guest today, Debbie DeWitt, Marketing Communications Manager for VizX, for talking to me about what's coming up in IC for 2024.
You're very welcome.
And of course, as always, thank you everyone out there for listening. For more free stuff, head to resourcesonvizx.com for guides, videos, and more to help with your visual communications. Please subscribe and share, and contact us for information about our digital signage solutions.